welcome to The Logstat, the Army's premier podcast on all things sustainment, where we analyze new developments, discuss current trends, and forge the path ahead for the next generation of sustainment soldiers. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Logstat. I'm your host, Captain Garrett Pyle. Today, we are going to analyze the one piece of doctrine that is our bread and butter as sustainers. That is Field Manual 4-0, Sustainment Operations. For those who don't know, this FM has just recently updated in August of 2024, which supersedes the version from 2019. Now, you might be thinking, what has changed since 2019 that warranted an entire update to be made to this FM? That was only 5, going on 6 years ago. We couldn't have changed that much. Well, folks, I'll start by saying this. Think how much technology, especially with drones and data integration, that have changed just in our civilian lives alone. Data is everywhere, and the increasing advancement in technology is constantly changing our landscape. But I'm not the one here today to tell you all about this. To guide us through this development of the brand new FM 4-0, I have here with me today the expert and senior doctrine developer of the Doctrine Division in the Combined Arms Support Command, CASCOM, at Fort Gregg Adams, Mr. Kirk Jones. He has a Bachelor of Science degree from Norfolk State University and was commissioned as a lieutenant in the Ordnance Corps. He recently published an article in the Winter 25 issue of Army Sustainment titled, Multi-Domain Operations Change the Army's Approach to Sustainment. I'm so happy to have you here today with me, sir. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to talk more about FM 4-0 and enlighten some folks.
That's what we're here today. Let's get on into it.
Yep.
But before we get into this FM, let's talk a little more about your experience as like an ordnance officer and now working in Doctrine Command. What's that been like?
Okay, so I was commissioned as an ordnance officer in 1992 into the Army Reserves. My first unit turned out to be a transportation unit, so I was quickly branch transferred to transportation. I spent the rest of my time as a transportation officer, going in to be a logistics officer. So that's where my breadth of my experience comes back from the transportation corps.
The spearhead of logistics?
Spearhead of nothing happens and some moves.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I came to CASCOM in 2007 as a major, as part of the active duty operational support.
Okay.
So I came to the Doctrine Division, and in 2009, when I came off orders when I came off my active duty orders, got a job as a civilian right there in the Doctrine Division. So I've been doing Doctrine here in CASCOM since 2007.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So, man, you truly are the expert. When it comes to Doctrine, you really are the expert on everything.
I don't like to say it too much, but I am the old man in the shop, you know, because I've been around for a long time. And as part of my duties, the Doctrine branch here in CASCOM has three different branches. It has the Army branch that does ordnance and quartermaster doctrine. I sit in the joint and multinational branch. We do transportation doctrine, plus we do joint doctrine and multinational doctrine. And with that, we participate in a NATO Combat Service Support Working Group, the American, British, Canadian, Australian, New Zealand Armies programs. So it kind of got a wide breadth of doctrine. So, yeah. And the third branch is the SSI doctrine branch. They do the AG and the financial management doctrine down there in Fort Jackson.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I've even got an FM 4-0 and I've already learned so much already about it. I didn't realize the Doctrine Command had so many different areas.
Yeah, a lot of different areas. Yeah.
Oh, wow. And you probably just being up there since you said 2007, just to see so many changes then.
Yeah.
Just in doctrine going from our coin operations, developing that, and how getting into multi-domain, large-scale combat operations again.
Yeah, I started, when I came in, we were just revising the first manual, field manual FM 4-0. I've seen it change from the first FM 4-0, combat service support, to Army doctrine publication 4-0 sustainment, then Army doctrine reference publication sustainment operations. So I've seen the whole gamut as it goes. You know, what's once was old is now new again. Yeah.
It's like that's a good thing we're going to be getting into today is like so many of our solutions are in the regulations, in the right. doctrine. Like it provides us a good foundation to go off of. And I know a lot of talk today is going through large scale combat operations. Like, well, we've already written the books about this.
Right.
We just got to get them off the shelf, maybe dust them off a little bit.
Right.
And update them like we're about to talk about today, but the information's out there.
Yes.
This isn't anything new.
Yes.
There'll be some new concepts I know we're going to talk about today that is new because of technology, but the core concepts really haven't changed.
Right.
So kind of getting into that, just dive into the FM. So begin, why was there a need to update the FM?
Well, in 2022, the Army moved away from the COIN operations that we've been engaged in, in Iraq and Afghanistan, and moved to large-scale combat operations. FM-30 operations, which was published in August 2022, around that time frame, updated the Army's operational concept from unified land operations to multi-domain operations. And so when the Army's operational concept changes, then that initiates a change for all other doctrine coming under it. Not just sustainment doctrine, but the protection, the cyber, every doctrine manual must update to coincide with the new operational concept.
Well, that is a domino effect.
Domino.
Right there.
Big domino.
Big
yes.
domino effect.
Yes.
Oh, wow. So that just that change
just
of 3.0, now all these other entities now have to change.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Now, when the FM-30 changed, were you already in the process of generating updates for FM-4, or did you have to wait for 3.0 to drop?
Well, we had to wait. We worked very closely with the folks out there at the Combined Arms Doctrine Directorate in Fort Leavenworth. Mm-hmm. So they were feeding us information that FM-30 was changing, and mm-hmm. they included us some tidbits along the way so that we had an idea of what we needed to change in FM-4.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you're doing these updates, what's like the procedure? I guess like the Cliff Notes versions in a sense of like where you have to do an update, how does it go from getting the notification we have to do an update to where it gets published?
Okay.
Like, what's that process look like?
Okay. So we have a doctrine development process. It's covered in TRADOC Reg 2536.
Okay.
The Army Doctrine Publishing Program. So we follow that. And so what we did for FM-4O, the first thing we did in-house, internal to CASCOM, we did an author's draft. And so when we did the author's draft, we were sending it out to all the subject matter experts to gain their input, you know, early on, get buy-in so that everybody's understanding what we're doing and why we're doing it. After we did that, we took all that context and input received and developed the initial draft of FM-4O. And that took some work, but we got together the initial draft and we sent that out for what we call a worldwide staffing. We gave them 60 days to review it. And I think that generated a little over 1,200 comments for me to go through.
Oh, wow.
And pick through and understand the context. And from that, you come up with your final draft. And we did a final draft staffing. Final draft staffing generated probably roughly another 1,000 comments, but that's good input for a doctrine developer to know that we're honing in our content and getting it right. Under Major General Semmerly, the CASCOM commander at the time, he asked us to do a couple other minor staffings where we did it with Army senior mentors to get their input on the publication. And we also staffed it with the maritime folks because we have a new chapter on the maritime. So we did those staffings, got the content dialed in, and then Major General Donahue took it on at the end and finished it. She provided her input, sent it off, and I went to the Combined Arms Center and got Lieutenant General Beagle, his review on it, his comments. He very positive comments on the publication, which was like a big relief because we were wondering what was coming back from him. He only sent like 12 comments back. It was like, very, very good. And then took it on the publication, and it was published August of last year.
That is awesome. Definitely a lot more. I wasn't sure if they just put you on a room, lock you in there until you don't come out until you're done.
Well, that's the dirty underside that we don't want to talk about. There were days it felt like that.
Yeah. Just hope the air conditioning comes back on when you're
in there. Yeah, you stay in here after the lights go out, you know, in the building and stuff. So, yeah.
Wow. That is definitely learned a lot just hearing that, the process it goes through.
Yeah.
Because I know it's the input, especially from the subject matter experts out there, and just being able to have all those comments. One, I can't believe going through 1,200 comments is, that is a lot. But, I mean, it's good to see that because you're getting input from everybody.
Yes.
And making sure we are producing the prime premier product that's really going to benefit the entire community.
Yes.
And not just sustainers, but all of operations.
Yes.
We need to be able to understand each publication as we do joint operations.
Yes. And one of the things that we try to do, we try to tie our doctrine with the maneuver side. So there's been a long going talk from the maneuver side that, well, we can't find your doctrine. So now we try to tie our stuff closely to the maneuver side so they're more easy. On a different note, separate from FM40, we have our echelon publications. We have ATP 493, Theater Sustainment Operations. We have 492, Field Army and Corps Operations, and 491, Division Operations. Those numbers, the 493, 492, 491, corresponds with the maneuver publications, 393, 392, 391. Okay. So it's really easy to synchronize our publications.
That's very smart to do that. That's definitely helpful.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know sometimes we can get lost in the hierarchy of all from FMs, ATPs, just the technical, just everything just can kind of get lost sometimes. But it's good that you have those connections.
Right.
So it's easy to reference.
Right.
That's awesome. As we continue to dive in, we kind of a little bit touched on this, but like, so how do you see, how has multi-domain operations changed the way we conduct sustainment operations, especially since you just went through probably, as you said, 1,000 comments. What have you seen from your foxhole?
Well, multi-domain operations, you really have to think that you're challenged across all domains, air, land, sea, space, and cyberspace.
Yep.
So for sustainment operations, you have to understand that you're under continuous contact in some form, whether it's electromagnetic, visual forms of contact with the enemy, because enemies, our adversaries, they have capabilities to monitor all of our communication. So from a sustainment perspective, we have to understand that. And as we go into operations, we have to understand that dispersion is key to survivability. If you remember the operations at Iraq and Afghanistan, you had large bases put together. Well, in multi-domain operations, we have to think more along the lines of dispersion for survivability, mass for effects, and then disperse again. That's the key to sustainment operations. That's the biggest thing that I've seen.
Oh, wow. So after kind of like getting that better understanding of those multi-domain operations, what are the major updates to FM40?
Okay, so major updates to FM40, I'm not going to go through the laundry list, but I'm just going to hit the big points where we shifted our focus. The previous version of FM40 was more organizational based. Now we moved to an echelon base where we go by the levels of warfare, the national strategic, theater strategic, operational and tactical warfare. We've included select sustainment tasks that are executed at each level of warfare. FM30 brought the tenets and imperatives of operations. And so we've aligned sustainment operations with the tenets and imperatives for operations. And we gave the sustainment implication, things that sustainers need to think about as they plan and conduct operations. We added a chapter on the maritime, sustainment operations in the maritime environment, because that's even more important, because how will we operate in the Pacific? A lot of times when people think operations, they think land-based, but we need to think PACOM and how we operate in the Pacific, how we do operations. So we have that content added in there. Then we had chapter 7, which talks about training and training for sustainment leaders and training for sustainment formations and what must be done to prepare for a multi-domain environment. Yeah.
Awesome. I definitely want to, for myself, get more into the maritime
right.
operations, especially since that's definitely the type of environment that I want to. I haven't had experience yet in my logistics history so far, my science, but I would definitely love to just to see that. I'm hoping to experience that.
Yes.
Because that's, I want to be able to have opportunities to see all facets of right. logistics, especially being a transporter.
Right.
I want to be able to see what that's like. I mean, got to see it a little bit as a lieutenant going through here in Bullock and tour and everything, but I also want to see those operations.
Right.
And that, so I just want to dive more into myself, that chapter.
Well, interesting point. As part of my, when I came in as an ordnance and quickly branch transferred to transportation, my first unit, it was a Army watercraft unit. Oh. So, I've had the bulk of my experiences in watercraft operations.
That was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to say, I was in the Army, but I was on a boat.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a unique concept.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to, I mean, that could be an entire podcast episode as it is.
Right.
Just talking about maritime operations.
Right. Because
that is going to happen. We saw recently with the port operations
right.
out in Gaza.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then just to see what, because that's going to have a huge, as you alluded to, in PACOM.
Right.
Because that's, if you're looking at that, everything has to be, well, we're looking back to World War II time, like
yeah.
struggles we had then with yeah. island hopping.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that could be, it's a whole other episode. But kind of tying it into some of the technologies that has changed, kind of helped drive some of this, is the precision sustainment predictive logistics. Because I know that's a newer thing, which is being really driven by changes in technology.
Right.
So if you could tell us more about kind of those focuses on precision sustainment and predictive logistics, because I know those are two terms that a lot of the audience might have never have heard before.
Right.
Like,
right.
what is that? What
okay.
do you mean by that?
So, in the doctrine world, we like to think of it as a predictive logistics is a means to precision sustainment.
Okay.
So predictive logistics, you think about predictive logistics as the tools, the sensors, the data support tools that able to provide to enables quicker and more accurate decision making. Precision sustainment is the effective delivery of the right capabilities to the point of employment. That enables the commander to extend freedom of action operationally and prolong endurance. So a lot of talk, a lot of development needs to go on in those areas. And you would see right now that the Army is going, looking at those predictive logistics capabilities. I'm sure as a young captain, you've heard about data analytics and
oh yes,
and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole goal is to be able to make decisions faster than the adversary and to deliver our capabilities and effects to create exploit those positions of relative advantage.
And coming from my background, from my bachelor's is in computer technology, a lot with data.
Right.
Back then, which was, I mean, a decade ago now, which is hard to think for me. That was going on a decade. But just seeing even back then, the right. way that I was using data to drive decisions on the civilian side was in my courses. And then seeing it now, how the Army itself is using data, which just like the rest of the civilian world has been using data.
Right.
Because data, I mean, that's just drives everything.
Right.
Think about it with Amazon. I mean, they're using data on how to establish, okay, these are the products that we need at this warehouse to ensure a faster delivery,
right.
especially for that last mile delivery.
That's correct.
And we're applying that same concept and now into our sustainment operations in the Army. So we're not getting to a point now where we're like, oh, let's just push everything we have forward, losing everything. Now we have no reserve.
Right, right.
Or we push everything forward, oh, that convoy or whatever just got completely decimated. Now we lost everything.
Right. That's why precision sustainment, yep. the effective delivery of the right capabilities, mm-hmm. not just pushing the Iron Mountain pass forward, because we go back to what I said earlier about dispersion is key. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get to Iron Mountains, you become more stagnant, but you got to consider our adversary's capabilities to affect us anywhere, to include the homeland. Mm-hmm. What we do if we have a cyber attack and we're trying to get out of a port or something and they knocked out all the electricity or all the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all in part of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now, not going, because I mean, we can go to the whole other side of the cup you just kind of alluded to, is like, what if this technology is taken out? Because now it's like, okay, how are we going to do precision and predictive? We have no technology to do it. Now we got to go old school,
right?
Back to analog,
right?
So ensuring that, especially to our audience, is like, while these technologies are great, like we have all this technology to assist us with doing predictive logistics, and I say, okay, this is what I need, but not losing the art of doing it by analog,
right?
Because it doesn't have to be a cyber attack. Be like, the generator ran out of fuel, or it just something happened.
Yeah,
I have no power to run it.
Right,
but the concept is still there.
Right,
on how to do it.
Right, right, and that's essential. And I know we're gonna get to it later, but for sustainable formations, they need to train to those standards. What happens if?
Yep.
You know, we don't have all the satellites and everything else, and you don't have the cell phones.
No.
You know, you won't have the cell phones. So, you know, how do you execute your mission? You know, and it's a hard thing to do, a hard thing to plan for, but, you know, that's what you have to consider. Yeah.
I think that's a good way to, that's a good thing with this FM, is like, it's teaching people the core concepts at their foundation.
Right.
So that you can conduct sustainment, logistical operations without the use of technology.
Right.
Because as we said, anything is possible.
Right.
And if you can do the basics and do it without, get out your whiteboards.
Right.
And be able to do it that way, you're going to be able to conduct your mission no matter what.
Right.
And that's the thing. Just don't become reliant on technology, because we all do it. We all become reliant on just this, the ease and the efficiency of, I can just pull it up. I can just get it on my phone real quick. I can just type this into my Excel sheet. It'll give it to me.
Right.
But can you still do it by hand? Can you still do your fuel calculations by hand?
Right.
That's something we cannot lose. And then, like we said, we can still do this precision predictive.
Right.
It might take us a little longer, but the concept is, let's not push everything forward.
Right.
Let's know, hey, this is what this place needs. This unit needs this amount of fuel at this time, at this location.
Right.
Let's do that. Not, I'm sending both my fuelers up. They comes back. How much do they use? Oh, they only use 100 gallons. So you're telling me that thing only used 100 gallons?
Right, right.
I just wasted that. So there's things that we can do better.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think that's an awesome thing that this manual is doing, and we're having that conversation. That's what it's about, is units having this conversation on how we can be more efficient.
Yes.
Awesome. So kind of looking at it as not just out of the FM40, is there anything new coming out of your department that you give the audience the insight on? Of course, nothing that we can, that we can't talk about, but what are some new things that our audience could be on the lookout for?
Okay. So FM40 is a Keystone publication. So right now, we're working ADP40 sustainment, which is a principal level publication. So we're getting ready to send that out for worldwide staffing this week. My major is up there working that right now. Yep. So that's gonna be the first thing I do when I leave here, go back up and, hey, where are we on this process? But FM480, financial management operations, that's a new FM. With ATSC, which is Army Training Support Center, which is the last step before it goes to the Army Publishing Directorate to hit out on the web. So those are two things that are coming.
Cool.
What do I see for the future? We talked about our Echelon publications, so I would anticipate that with FM40 being published and ADP40 about to hit, those would be coming in next year sometime.
Next year sometime, okay. So definitely be on the lookout for those.
Yeah.
Awesome. So just to tie this all up and close this out, what kind of advice, or what advice do you have for sustainers?
Well, I think we alluded to it multiple times during the conversation. FM40 talks about the contested logistics environment. In the past, we have been comfortable with, the U.S., we're separated by oceans, and we'll always be able to get there. But with multi-domain operations and contested logistics, you have to think that we're going to be challenged from home station all the way to forward. You know, with the adversaries capabilities, you know, the what ifs, you know, train yourselves for what if you don't have all of your electronics, all your data systems, support tools. How are you going to do your mission? Because the mission still has to continue, you know, and that's the training and the thought processes that we can be doing now to prepare you for the future conflict.
Man, it's great being able to have your wisdom from all your experience, especially here in Doctrine and Command. Having all that, seeing how Doctrine has changed just since 2007.
Yeah.
And it's been a great opportunity and honor to have you here today.
Right.
Bestowing your wisdom on us and the audience. So just learning, I learned a lot about the process. I didn't realize it so much went into the Doctrine and the thousands of comments that you get. I can't imagine the process and just sitting there, okay, another day, and we sit down, oh, got a few hundred more comments to review today.
That is what we do. Yep. And if you think about it, that is a form of data analytics, because all the comments is data. Yep. You know, and we have to go through and analyze the data for themes and trends as to what, you know, the folks are saying.
Yep. So if someone's listening here, they have a comment for Run the Regulations, how can they get it to you?
A comment for FM40?
Yeah.
If you go to the Army Sustainment Resource Portal, I believe there's a link there to send a comment through. So much stuff is changing. You know, MilSuite is getting ready to sunset at the end of this month. So, you know, if you have FM40 right up there in the front, and I believe it's in the preface, there's an email address.
Oh, perfect.
There's an email address to send it, and it comes to a inbox right here to us that we all have access to, and we all modify.
Perfect. Well, folks, you heard it here. So if there's anything out there that you see happening within your formations, like, cool, this would be something good to add to any future things or things you say, hey, or just drop them a line, say, hey, this has been a great FM. I know they'd really appreciate just seeing how all the hard work they're doing here is being applied. But I know I learned a lot today. I want to thank you, sir, for coming in and providing such a great insight to our listeners. Especially how we're able to apply this in the future operations, this FM.
Right.
The solution is simple. Use these pieces of doctrine as your foundation to build any plan, and you will be successful. Make time in your daily battle rhythm to read some doctrine to sharpen your toolkit and become a more lethal, multifunctional sustainer by the day. I'm excited to see everything else your office is working on and hope to have you back on the show.
Hey, more than glad to come back anytime. You know, as I was talking about it with some of our other folks upstairs, I said, hey, you know, maybe when books come out, you can have them come down and do the podcast also. And last thing, shameless plug, the Army Sustainment Resource Portal, if you go out to there, there's a link to a FM40 trailer video that we did. And there's for anybody in the audience that wants to know more about FM40, there's a train-the-trainer slides. The train-the-trainer slides have two briefs. They have a more senior-level brief for senior leaders, and then they have a more, I'll just say, down-and-dirty brief with more detail and all the facial slides. That was part of our post-publication efforts.
Awesome. That is very good to know. That is a fantastic tool to get people more engaged with the FM and a better understanding.
Yes.
It's awesome. And also be sure to check out your article in the winter issue of the Army Sustainment for even a more detailed look into the FM. That is all we have today, folks. Hope you have enjoyed our discussions. Be on the lookout for more episodes dropping every 2 weeks. Sustainment leaders, start here. See you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Logstat. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please share this episode across your formation and leave us a review. If you have a topic you like here discussed, then please reach out to us at armysustainment@army.mil or directly to me on Global at garrett.h.pyle. Follow us on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn at Army Sustainment. We'll see you next time. Sustainment leaders, start here.